Breakfast Briefing
with NetWatch.
Unusual to look at the front pages of the papers and see an Irish win in soccer, but that's what the Irish Examiner has. Troy Parrott celebrating after scoring Ireland's late winner. Unfortunately, it was a friendly, this international friendly against Hungary at the Aviva. But of course, it brings John O'Shea his first win, and he being interim manager, and the players were certainly playing for him last night as well as their country. The main story in the Irish Examiner yesterday, we heard that the Road Safety Authority wants new laws brought in that essentially would double penalty points for things like using your phone while driving or speeding while driving. But the Examiner says that the government has now all but ruled out those calls to introduce emergency legislation to double penalty points. Taoiseach Micheál Martin saying that the current penalty point system is severe enough. And Taoiseach Simon Harris saying all issues in relation to road safety are kept under review. But it seems like the Taoiseach was suggesting that the ad campaigns should be hard-hitting, maybe more hard-hitting, and they should be rolled out to make clear the impact of dangerous driving, which is interesting because we don't really have the graphic ads anymore that we used to. And maybe that's one of the things that could be looked at by the Road Safety Authority, but they were calling for this emergency legislation to deal with the increase in fatalities. Looks like that's not going to happen, though. The Irish Daily Mail, staying with driving, drivers are subject to a postcode lottery, with young motorists in affluent Dublin suburbs paying less for car insurance than more experienced drivers from less well-off areas. So where you live could mean that your car insurance could be increased by €1,000. A driver's address has been proven to be a major factor for insurers when setting premiums, according to an examination of nearly 40,000 quotes from car insurance companies. And they give various different examples there of a 60-year-old driver with no penalty points living in a less well-off area would be expected to pay €338 more for their insurance than a 25-year-old from Glenageary in South Dublin. So it's been called a postcode penalty when it comes to car insurance. Garda Reserves are on the front of the Irish Independent. They're getting a pay rise. The amount paid to Garda Reserves could triple under plans being announced by Justice Minister Helen McEntee today. At the moment, they get €1,000 if they do at least 100 hours of Garda Reserve policing, but now they're going to get up to €3,000 if they do 200 hours of volunteering. This is a big new recruitment campaign for Garda Reserves, and we do have a target now that they want at least 1,000 Garda Reserve members by 2026. The Irish Times on the front page says that Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has said her party would have a scheme to sell affordable homes in Dublin for €300,000. And that's different to what Mary Lou MacDonald told the Irish Times before Christmas, where she suggested that she wanted to see average house prices in Dublin fall to about €300,000. Currently, they're about €420,000. So the Irish Times is highlighting a move away from a previous position where Mary Lou MacDonald had said that average house prices in Dublin should fall to the same figure. This all happened yesterday on RTÉ's Today with Claire Byrne, where Mary Lou MacDonald said that the €300,000 figure related to an affordable housing scheme. So obviously, since those comments before Christmas, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were fiercely criticising Mary Lou MacDonald. So lots of talk about this in the run-up to the election. I should tell you that Mary Lou MacDonald will be on the Pat Kenny Show here on News Talk this morning, so we might get more clarity. Tune in from 9 on that. Also on the front of the Irish Times, Dublin 10 has elevated levels of violence against women. Up to 70% of criminal damage and public order incidents in parts of southwest Dublin are related to domestic violence, with Ballyfermot and Cherry Orchard disproportionately affected by elevated levels of violence against women, according to a new report funded by Dublin City Council. Now, the front of the Irish Sun, killed in front of his kids. A dad was hacked to death by a gang just after arriving at a funeral with his children, a court heard. Tom Dooley was so viciously attacked in Kerry in 2022, his spine was damaged by a blade. Six men men, including his younger brother, Patrick, deny murder. So that's the front of the Irish Sun, which also has a photograph of Nigel Farage getting a banana milkshake, I think it was, thrown at him at the launch of the UK general election campaign. Now, inside the papers, this is the stuff of nightmares in the Irish Times. A Dublin man had to sift through his father's ashes, removing metal screws, staples and other pieces of the coffin left following an incomplete cremation process. And now this man has spoken of his heartbreak and horror at the experience. Sean Fox is calling for greater regulation of the sector, the cremation sector, I think they mean, which he said might prevent other families having a similar experience and allow those who had bad experiences to lodge official complaints. Sean Fox's father, Johnny, died in April, and in line with his wishes, he was cremated. A portion of his ashes were to be spread in the mountains where he used to train, because he was a runner, athletics coach, and another portion of the ashes set aside to be buried alongside his wife when the time comes. And then when they got the ashes home, they were trying to collect tiny amounts of ash and found what looked like large bone fragments. Then they found screws, staples, washers and other pieces of metal. And not surprisingly, Sean Fox says he was so shocked. It looked like the remnants of a bonfire and I felt physically sick. It's a fascinating interview in the Irish Times with this man, Sean Fox. And as I say, the stuff of nightmares for people. A couple of stories to do with smartphones and screen time and stuff like that in the papers. So the Telegraph tells us about Spain, and maybe something we could look at here. Doctors in Spain will check children for signs of mobile phone addiction once a year. Under the draft law, paediatricians will be trained to identify symptoms of children spending excessive amount of time on screens when they see children for health checkups. Because this is the future. You're going to have to deal with this. So now Spain will test for smartphone addiction. And the law will also change regulations and introduce new criminal laws aimed at preventing children from falling prey to dangerous individuals and inappropriate influences online. That's one story to do with screens and mobile phone use and all that stuff. Then the Times of London tells us something different to what we've all been told for years. So we were all told, turn off your phones, turn off your screens at night before bed to get a better night's sleep. That's a load of rubbish, apparently, because new advice says that gazing at a screen that emits blue light before bed doesn't have an effect on your sleep, scientists have said. So regularly we are advised to limit our screen use in the evenings. However, the authors of a new review said experiments have failed to find evidence of a meaningful sleep-delaying effect by using your screens. And I find this as well. I'm on my phone until I fall asleep and I certainly haven't noticed the impact. I'm sure there'll be more research tomorrow which tells us that it is having an impact when you're on your phone late at night looking at the screen and you're trying to sleep. Finally, in the Mail, what's for dinner is the question posed most frequently by children, followed by can I have a treat? This is new research done by Tesco, looking at 643 parents in Ireland, finding out what their children are asking them. So what's for dinner, number one? Can I have a treat, number two? In third is can I have ketchup with mine? Then we have why, children constantly ask why, followed by where's my, do I have to go to school? And I don't see the one that I thought would be most annoying, which is, are we there yet? Not in the list that I can see here, but you can read more about that in the Mail. Now, those are the stories making the headlines.
Breakfast Briefing
with NetWatch
on News Talk.